Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Shanice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, September 11th. We thank you guys for tuning in and just wanted to quickly say that we here at Beauty Talk, some 15 years later, are still praying and thinking about the families and friends of those who lost loved ones in the attacks here in the U.S. on September 11th, 2001. We continue to pray for those people. Tonight's show, we have some beauty news for you guys, and both my sister and I will be sharing all night long on different subject matters. And so we just ask that you would sit back, enjoy the conversation. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. If you have some news you would like to share with us, please do call in and share. We would love that. We would really appreciate it. And I'm going to send it over to my sister Denise so that she can greet you all in her own way. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk, as well as welcome to the Beauty News Show. We are glad you all can join us. And again, if you have questions, comments, or want to chime in, you can give us a call, 914-803-4399. Be sure to press the 1 to speak with us. And if you just want to listen on the line, do not press the 1. So tonight I just want to start off with the Creative Arts Emmy winners, since the Creative Arts Emmy is going on even right now in Los Angeles. They had this year they have two separate shows. They had a show last night, and they're actually in the process of having another show to complete the whole Emmy Award winning ceremony. So to start out, I'm just going to give you winners for hair and makeup. We have for outstanding hairstyling for a limited series or movie, The People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story is the winner. That's on FX Network, Fox 21 Television Studios, FX Productions, Chris Clark, Department Head Hairstylist, Natalie Driscoll, Key Hairstylist, Shea Sanford Fong, hairstylist, and Katrina Chevalier, she's an additional hairstylist. So those are the four winners for the Outstanding Hairstyling for a Limited Series or Movie, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Outstanding Hairstyling for a Single Camera Series. That's just one camera that shot the whole series. The winner is Downton Abbey. For Episode 9 on PBS, a Carnival film, Masterpiece co-production in association with NBC Universal, Nick Collins, Department Head Hairstylist, Adele Firth, co-department head hairstylist. And then we have Outstanding Makeup for a Limited Series or Movie, Non-Prosthetic, so that's pretty much just, as people would say, straight makeup or just beauty makeup. Outstanding Makeup for a Limited Series or Movie, Non-Prosthetic. The winner is American Horror Story Hotel, FX Networks, 20th Century Fox Television, FX Productions. no stranger to the Emmy Award, Aaron Kruger Makesh, Department Head Makeup Artist, Kim Ayers, Assistant Department Head Makeup Artist, Michael Makesh, Aaron's husband, Assistant Department Head Makeup Artist, Sylvina Knight, Makeup Artist, James McKinnon, a friend of mine, Makeup Artist, and Sarah Tano, Makeup Artist. Outstanding Makeup for a Single Camera Series, Non-Prosthetic, Game of Thrones, Battle of the Bastards, HBO, HBO Entertainment in association with Big Head, Little Head, 360 Television, and Starling Television, Jane Walker, Department Head, Kate Thompson, Makeup Artist, Nicola Matthews, Makeup Artist, Kay Bilk, Makeup Artist, Mariana Kirisu, Makeup Artist, and Pamela Smith, Makeup Artist. Outstanding Prosthetic Makeup for a Series, Limited Series, Movie, or Special, Game of Thrones, The Door is the episode, HBO, HBO Entertainment in association with Big Head, Little Head, 360 Television, and Starling Television. The winner again, Jane Walker, Department Head, Makeup Artist, Sarah Gower, Special Makeup Effects, Assistant Department Head, Emma Sheffield, Key Special Makeup Effects Artist, Tristan Versluis, Key Special Makeup Effects Artist, and Barry Gower, Prosthetic Designer. And there you have it. The winners of the Creative Arts Emmy Awards for hair and makeup, that is.
And do you have winners for the daytime Emmys? I know a couple of the talk shows were nominated. I was just wondering if you had information on the daytime Emmys.
No, I think that's a different show.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that's a different show. Totally different show.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
this is all for prime time.
Well, then I will leave that alone. I will leave that alone. All right.
And
so
I just wanted to mention really quickly, we had some friends that were nominated for the Emmy, Debbie Young, Matiki Anoff, and we had, you know, a couple of other people who were nominated. So we just want to say congratulations, you all, on your nomination. And, you know, go get them the next time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to move on to the show report, just giving some announcements about some upcoming beauty shows. And as always, IMATS is still have two more shows to finish out this year. And their show is coming to Toronto October 1st and 2nd. Of this year, so that's coming up very soon. I'm not sure about the status of tickets, but if you are a pro, you have a pro card, you should be able to get in using your pro card, so you may want to go online and set that up right now. I'm not sure if they're sold out or not. I haven't heard any information on that, but it's still time that you can still check. So again, IMATS Toronto, October 1st and 2nd. Of this year, coming up very soon. And then there's Sydney to finish off the year, and that's November 19th through 20th. Again, Sydney, Australia is November 19th through 20th for IMATS. Save the date because the Los Angeles IMATS is coming back January 13th through 15th of next year. So I need to mark my calendar for that, January 13th through 15th. Of next year is IMATS Los Angeles, which is held in Pasadena, actually. And then the Image Expo in Texas, they're about to finish out their year in Dallas, November 13th through 14th. And that's a Sunday-Monday. Their show was a Sunday-Monday. IMATS is Saturday-Sunday. But the Image Expo in Dallas, November 13th, through 14th of this year, and that's coming pretty soon as well. And save the date for Houston, May 7th and 8th of 2017. And so if you have information, if you need information, rather, on ticket prices and information on, you know, educators, exhibitors, et cetera, you can go to info@imageexpo.com, and that's IMAGEEXPO
imageexpo.com. That's info@imageexpo.com. Again, Dallas coming up November 13th and 14th, and then Houston May 7th and 8th of 2017. And as always, in my Pro Beauty Report, I report on information and events from Professional Beauty Association, and my sister and I both are members of that association, and we always encourage everyone to join. It's really worth it. If you are a hairstylist, a nail tech, even a makeup artist, it's a great organization to be a part of. They're always, pretty much fighting for us and making sure that we are represented through legislation with the different things, for instance, like licensing. And they actually have a big movement, and I can talk about that later, but they have a group called the Beauty Industry Working Group. And that particular organization works for the artists. And they're fighting at the national and state level, trying to make sure that your beauty schools have the, per state, have the appropriate number of hours, making sure, you know, they're really fighting for reciprocity throughout the states. They, you know, just fighting to make sure that the laws will work for us. So I'll talk a little bit more about that at another time. But again, it's called the Beauty Industry Working Group, and that's what they do. They work for us. But PBA has their National Beauty Week in Las Vegas, which they just had back in July. We'll save the date for next year because that's coming back July 8th through the 11th. Again, it's PBA Beauty Week in Las Vegas, July 8th through 11th. And then ISSE is coming January 28th through 30th of next year. So that's pretty much like, I think it's maybe 2 weeks after IMAX. It's 2 weeks after IMAX, so save the date for that. It's the biggest, it's one of the biggest shows out there here in the U.S., ISSE, okay, January 28th through 30th. It's the International Salon and Spa Expo, if you want to know what ISSE is, International Salon and Spa Expo. And then returning to the nation's capital on Monday, September 26th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. is Welcome to Our World. That returns to the Capitol. Again, it's called Welcome to Our World. It's put on by the PB Federation and the Pro Beauty Federation. And what they do with that is you will have, like, nail techs, hairstylists. They'll come in for 3 hours after work hours are over, and they'll pretty much go to our senators and representatives there, and they'll go and they'll treat them to, you know, salon services, you know, light hair styling, manicures, and that, and you know, those things like that. And pretty much basically it's the artists working in the industry pretty much getting to know your legislators and basically pampering them, but it's also a way for them to see what you do and for you to kind of have dialogue and have a conversation about what you need. You know, those are the people that you need to go to. Those are the ones that need to hear it. So when they're, you know, every day when they're addressing different topics and different issues, they've seen you. They know what you look like, you know, and they've heard your concerns firsthand, not through someone else, but from your mouth to their ear. So that's coming back to the nation's capital. It's called Welcome to Our World, Monday, September 26th, and that's coming up really soon from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can go to pba.org to look under events and find Welcome to Our World, and you can go there to sign up if you would like to participate. Okay, it's all a volunteer thing, but you can help make a difference by doing so.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing.
September is
National Skincare Awareness Month, and I discovered this the other day. And I was tweeting some skincare tips, and I was using the hashtag Denise Knows Skin, and as well as Skin Is In. So I'm going to encourage you all after this report to tweet your thoughts about skincare, tweet your tips about skincare, and use the hashtag Skin Is In. But after the end of this report, I'll also give you another hashtag that you can use. But I just want to be able to have people use that hashtag Skin Is In, because we want to take it beyond the month of September. You know, we want to just carry it forever. So let's just use the hashtag Skin Is In and share your thoughts about skincare. Share products about skincare products. If you have questions, you can always tweet me at Denise Tunnell, and you can always just put the question out there and use that hashtag Skin Is In, and I'll definitely see it and be able to answer your question. Mm-hmm. And I'm not answering based on just stuff that I've used. I'm answering because I am a licensed esthetician, so I think I'm pretty qualified to answer a lot of those questions. But blogger and celebrity esthetician Renee Rulo basically says that she created the National Skincare Awareness Month to encourage others to get educated about the best way to care for their skin and its needs. And I'm going to read you a little bit of her post for this month. And she says, throughout my career as an esthetician and skincare expert, I have always known that people are looking for solutions to their skincare problems, but not always in the way of skincare products. They seek expert advice on how to care for their skin with practical common sense tips such as, where should eye cream be applied to? How often should I be exfoliating my skin? So I created National Skincare Awareness Month to share the knowledge I have learned as a skincare expert and celebrity esthetician with 25 years of hands-on experience working with skin. I'm not just a salesperson who wants to make a sale. I simply love helping others. My passion is what ultimately led to me to start my career in the first place. So creating this month is just an extension of who I am, my belief system, and my passion for giving back. I encourage you to read my over 600 blog posts here and use them as a resource to help you find the solutions you need to solve your skincare problems. Okay. So then she goes on to say, education for how to care for your skin, along with using results-driven skincare products formulated for the unique needs of your skin, is what will ultimately give you healthy, clear, beautiful skin. She goes on to say, what's the best mask or peel for your skin type? They're clay-based mask, they're cream-based mask, and they're gel mask. And so clay-based masks work best for oily, acne-prone skin in need of oil absorption. She recommends energizing cleansing mask. Cream-based masks work best for, of course, dry skin. She recommends pure radiance cream mask. And gel masks work best for sensitive skin due to their naturally cold temperatures. She recommends BioCalm repair mask. She says, this year we're encouraging our clients and customers to be skincare aware by boosting their daily regimen with an at-home mask or exfoliating peel. Incorporating either of these into your routine is something that is too often overlooked by many, but it can greatly increase the effectiveness of your existing products while leaving skin healthier and more radiant. Are you, pound, I'm skincare aware? Help celebrate Skincare Awareness Month by posting a photo of yourself wearing a mask or a peel, and share using tag I'm Skincare Aware. So basically, what she's asking is for you to use a mask or and some type of an exfoliant on your face. Take a photo, tweet it, and use the hashtag I'm Skincare Aware. So that should be interesting to see, first of all, who all does it.
Yeah.
And what they're taking photos of, if they're using an exfoliant or if they're using a mask. You know, there's always those sheet masks as well. So if you don't necessarily, get the appropriate mask for your skin type and you like to use one of those sheet masks, go ahead, try it, do it, and use the hashtag I'm Skincare Aware. So again, if you have any questions about your skincare or about how to start a whole skincare routine, definitely you can tweet me at Denise Tunnell with those questions, or you can use the hashtag #SkinIsIn, and that will definitely make sure I will answer those questions for you. But again, try it. I'm skincare aware. Hashtag I'm skincare aware, and take a picture of yourself using a peel or a mask and see what comes of it. I just thought that was interesting.
And I just wanted to, it's very interesting. I just wanted to mention, you know, you just named the creator of this awareness month. And I found something online that was interesting. This particular site doesn't know who created it, and they refer to it as a national holiday. But they refer to it, as a national holiday, and they say, how is this holiday celebrated? This holiday is celebrated by learning new ways to take care of our skin and by making others aware of how to take care of their skin. During the month of September, why not have a fun skincare party with all your friends? Ladies just love skincare parties and sharing ideas to make our skin happy and healthy, and that's a good thing. But basically, they're saying that, because people ask a couple of questions, you know, what is National Skincare Awareness Month? And they say it's always September. And the reason why they stress that is because National Skincare Awareness Month is always celebrated the month of September. There is some confusion as to this holiday being the month of May, but the reason for this is because May celebrates National Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and not National Skin Care Awareness Month. So sometimes people get confused, but National Skin Care Awareness Month is always in September.
Right.
And then they go on to talk about, two things I wanted to read. One, they just gave just a little bit of information where they say the skin supports its own ecosystems of microorganisms, including yeast and bacteria, which cannot be removed by any amount of cleaning. Estimates place the number of individual bacteria on the surface of 1 square inch, which is about 6.5 square centimeters, of human skin at 50 million, though this figure varies greatly over the average 20 square feet, which is about 1.92 meters of human skin. So just a little fact there. But they go on to address some questions, and One of the things is somebody wanted to know, what is natural skincare? And I'm so happy that somebody asked that question, because it's just kind of, sometimes you see all these products, like these natural skin products, and you don't know if it's just, you know, a new fad, something new, or is that something, you know, that we should really be considering. And so they go on to say, what is natural skincare? Natural skincare, according to Wikipedia, is the care of the skin, the largest organ of the body, usually naturally derived ingredients such as herbs, roots, essential oils, and flowers, combined with naturally occurring carrier agents, preservatives, surfactants, I can't read because of this font that they're using, you know, everything from natural soaps to oils to pure water. The classic definition of natural skincare is based on usually botanically sourced ingredients currently existing in or formed by nature without the use of synthetic chemicals and manufactured in such a way to preserve the integrity of the ingredients. Hold on, let me make this a little bit bigger here. This fancy font, there we go. As a result of this definition, many people who use natural skincare products generally make their own products at home from naturally occurring ingredients. While there are many wives' tales surrounding the benefits of certain ingredients, scientific studies have proven that such ingredients as chamomile have demonstrated healing and anti-inflammatory properties when applied topically. Many people use natural skincare recipes to make remedies to care for their skin at home. Many spas and skincare salons now focus on using
more naturally derived skincare products. Over the past 10 years, several companies have been started to make available completely natural products to the general public. And I wanted to read that because I was just in Target tonight and looking. I was in the skincare aisle, and I saw, and I do not remember the name of this brand, but I've never seen it before. And it was a natural skincare line. Target, I think they're doing inventory, so stuff was kind of thrown all over the place. But I was looking at some of the stuff that they had and reading what was in it, and it's when they talked about some people making their natural skincare products at home, it reminded me of just that. Like, they pretty much, I think there was I guess they called it a serum, and it was just nothing but like maybe three or four different oils, which, you know, you could go, you know, somewhere and buy these oils and just mix them together, you know, and put them in a bottle to create this particular serum. So, I mean, I just mentioned that because sometimes, basically, in some of these natural ingredient products, that's all that it is stuff that you can go and buy these same natural ingredients, mix it together, and create the same thing. Now, I'm not sure how much of one thing they put in. You know, I guess you have to decide basically what you want, but that's what that line looked like to me, like something that someone pretty much created at home and bottled it up. It was kind of cute. Like, it made me want to kind of purchase some of the products, but I was like, okay, just calm down, you know. But they had some things that you would find in your kitchen, like spices, as part of some of the ingredients. There was a mask, I think it was, and it looked like it was almost something that you shake out, but I'm pretty sure it to be a mask, it couldn't be that loose, but that's how it looked, you know, in the particular bottle and in the packaging. And I'm like, okay, I would love to see how these products work, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to go and spend all this money just to try out this stuff, because it seems like when you literally read those ingredients, you feel like you could come home to your kitchen and pull some of these things out of your some of these spices, and then go to like a Sprouts or somewhere and buy some of the same, you know, same ingredients and mix it together. You know, so I guess, you know, for those who really want to get into the natural skincare products, it's really all about learning about what the ingredients do. Like, they talked about chamomile and demonstrating healing and anti-inflammatory properties. You know, if you're looking for that in particular, then yes, go out and grab some chamomile, you know. But when you combine your ingredients together, just be well aware of what each ingredient does. Before you start just throwing stuff together and mixing it up, saying, okay, here's my, you know, natural serum or my natural body oil or whatever, just kind of know what they do so that you're putting together the best ingredients for whatever it is you're trying to address. Also, speaking of natural, I also wanted to mention, you know, a lot of times, and I'm going to be talking about this on my men, you know, my male grooming blog, a lot of men, they always talk about, you know, razor bumps and things like that. But a lot of men, when they wash their face, they're washing their face with just warm water, or they're washing their face, or they're washing their face with just with warm water and soap. Now, some of them, the ones that are doing it with just warm water, are saying they don't even want to use soap because soap dries out their face. Well, of course, you know, so. One of the things is like you're trying to convince them that soap is drying, so you don't want to use soap. And they'll say, well, I've been using just warm water. Don't my skin look good? And I'm like, yes, your skin looks great. But, you know, so they said, so it's not harming my skin. No, the warm water is not harming your skin. But just using warm water is not doing anything good for your skin either. You know, so it's just the first battle was trying to talk them into using products and getting into a certain, you know, regimen. And then second, addressing what their skincare needs are, because there are a lot of them that don't use soap
or you know, just use warm water, because they're saying that so many different things break them out that they don't know what to use.
Well, you know, also,
speaking of the water, you know, sometimes the warm water is okay, like a lukewarm water is okay to use on your skin. But if you're using hot water, that's what we have to be careful of, because most people tend to use hot water. That as well will dry your skin out. Even so, if you're not using soap and you're just using hot water, that will dry you out. And I see that all the time.
Yeah. So just that's one of the things I'm going to, you know, be addressing, as a lot of, you know, natural skincare. And I have a product line that, you know, I have a product line that a company sent me. So I'm going to be talking about that pretty soon. It's a natural skincare line for men, and I'm going to be talking about that pretty soon. But one of the lines that I've used on male clients, especially, and I haven't tried it on any other male clients except African-American male clients, because it was made specifically for African-American men. But I will say that Solo Noir, it's a natural product. It was created to address the needs of the African-American man, the different issues that, you know, they deal with their skin. I think that's one of the best that I've tried so far, natural lines for men. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about their products, as well as the UK-based product line that was sent to me, which is a natural product. I'm going to talk about those two products on my men's skincare and grooming blog, Dapper. So
now,
look out for that.
Speaking of natural, I just, you know, this just came to mind as you were talking earlier about the different ingredients, and I know this is, you know, kind of totally left, but I just wanted to mention this because I'm kind of experiencing this right now. But speaking of natural, there are a lot of things that you can use naturally that are natural, instead of using, you know, how everybody's like, you know, during the summertime and all that, when, you know, you're outside and mosquitoes are out, you know, and everybody, you know, they want to use, you know, all of the off and other types of sprays that have the, you know, the chemicals like DEET and everything in it. Now, I know with the Zika virus going around, that is strongly recommended that you use a product with DEET in it, because that's the only thing that's going to protect you really against that Zika virus, is to use something with DEET in it. So I strongly encourage that. But if you're dealing with something that's not, you know, the Zika virus, and you're just dealing with mosquitoes, gnats, it protects you from, you know, ticks and chiggers and things like that, you know, a whole bunch of things you've never even heard of. There are a bunch of natural ingredients, of course, like peppermint, lemongrass, especially protect yourself from gnats, mosquitoes, rosemary, lemongrass, two of the main ingredients, also peppermint. You can use those ingredients, like, and you can use an oil. You can use those in oil form mixed with a little water, and you can just spray that all over you, or just what I do is I usually just take the oils itself and just put it in my hand and, you know, put it all over my body. Now, it's very potent, so if you want, you can use it in like a body lotion. Use a body lotion with the oils mixed in it, and you can use it all over your body to help, you know, keep those things away from you and to protect you from getting bitten. Just wanted to throw that out there. I'm experiencing some of that right now because I'm working in an area that's heavily wooded. And so instead of spraying, you know, the sprays with DEET and all those chemicals in it on me, I'll use some natural ingredients, and I'm fine. I've been fine. So if you're in deep, deep woods, I do strongly suggest, though, that you use something that has DEET in it. But I just wanted to throw that out there about, you know, some of those things with natural ingredients.
And
still on the skincare awareness information, I just wanted to also just kind of give you all some tips as to how we can, first of all, we need to get excited about taking care of our skin. And I think that's one thing.
Absolutely.
One, we need to be aware of the fact that we should be concerned about our skin. And then two, get excited about it and make it something of interest to you. And one of the things you hear people say it all the time. A lot of people say, oh, where do you get this beautiful skin? And one thing that you always hear people say, well, you know, I drink my 8 glasses of water a day. And I think we should start there. You know, besides getting excited about it, we should start with making sure we get in at least our 8 glasses of water each day. Now, people always say 8 glasses of water, and then you will hear some people, especially in the medical profession, say it's based on how many glasses you have should be based on your body weight. Doesn't matter how you do it, you know, but get your 8 glasses. 8 glasses is not going to hurt anyone.
No.
And sometimes it's also suggested to purchase a PBA-free water bottle and keep it by your side. Sometimes, and let me be honest with you, sometimes it's hard to get my 8 glasses of water a day for various reasons. If I'm working on a film set and you go to the cooler where the water is and it's full of ice and you have to put your hand all the way down in that ice to grab the water, I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, I don't even want to put my hand. I don't want to even put my hand all the way down. And then the bottle is dripping wet. Some things, this may sound stupid to some people, but some things just kind of turn me off. You know, if you're on a set, the water's in the cooler, or the water has been cases and cases and cases of water has been sitting out, and then once the cooler gets empty, they take that same water that's been sitting out in that heat and put it in the cooler. I don't want it. I know you're getting ready to make it cold, but I don't want it. It's been sitting out in the heat all day. You know, it's just like things like that that I know. Now, if I don't see it and I just go in that cooler and grab one of the waters that's on the top where I don't have to put my hand all the way down in that ice-cold water and it's one at the top
right.
And it's cold and I drink it, fine. But then there's also, like, certain brands, like a lot of brands I like of water. There are a couple brands that I don't care for, but not many. But the ones that I like, sometimes they're in bottles that don't feel good to me. And what I'm saying like, I love Aquafina. That bottle fits perfectly in my hand. I love the way I can hold that bottle. And for some reason with Aquafina, I can drink more water, no problem. I love Deer Park, but sometimes I'm all day with one bottle of water. It's just something about it, the shape of the bottle, the way it fits in my hand. It's not like the Aquafina. I feel like with the Aquafina, I could just, you know, drink them quickly. You know, I prefer, now those little small mini bottles, I can grab 3 of those and drink them down really fast, and I'm good. That's like, you know, 3 glasses. Whereas, you know, I forget what the, like 16.5 ounce or something like that, you're going to get, it's like 2 glasses of water, you know. But the little ones, I can drink down faster. It's just certain things, you know. Like I said, if you get a nice fancy bottle that you like they were saying, a PBA-free water bottle, you know, it might help you to get it down a little better, or it's in your face, it's big, it's colorful, it's whatever, and you see it, and then you're more focused on it, whatever the situation is. I'm spending too much time talking about water, but I'm just saying we have to get our at minimum our 8 glasses of water every single day. It's important. We need it. Then, you know, if you've been in the store and you've been looking at this skincare product, you've been eyeing it, and you definitely want to try it. You haven't tried it maybe because of the cost, or you haven't tried it for whatever other reason, like, oh, okay, I don't need any serum right now because my bottle of serum is so big, it's going to take me a long time to get it. Well, whatever the situation is, you know, now that this is National Skincare Awareness Month, why not try that new skincare product? You know, just to switch up your routine, try something new. We had several months ago, we did the show with about Korean beauty, and we talked to the young ladies about all the steps, you know, that
yeah,
they
I was
take.
Just about to mention that.
And, you know, for me, it's like a challenge to see how many steps I can add to my routine. So, you know, it's just something that we have to get into, you know. Make sure that you continue at all times to slather on that sunscreen. That sunscreen. For those who have that sunscreen that leaves a white film, what I normally do is I'll put a little bit of lotion in it, then put it on, just so that it's not that white film, you know, on my arm, but I'm still using, you know, my sunscreen. I kind of tend to like the sprays a little better, but whatever you use, make sure you are using your sunscreen. Let's not just talk about sunscreen for the month of September. Let's make that an everyday, all year round conversation. We have to have it. I don't care what you look like, what color your skin is. We have to have it. And then there's that about the skin. Then there's this conversation about the skincare parties again. Sometimes it's great when you just bring over some friends and everybody brings over their new products that they purchased, and we all sample and we test and we do what you were suggesting a few minutes ago about doing the mask and taking the photos. You know, do a skincare party and make it something fun. You know, give each other your homemade facials, testing out your new products. You know, it'd be kind of great to see some new product that one of your friends has found and you sharing a new product that you found and discovered and just playing with them and just, you know, everybody getting very familiar with the products and seeing what you like and what you don't like. And then another very, very important I was going to suggest is go see a skincare specialist at least once a quarter. Skincare specialist, a.k.a. esthetician. Go get a facial once a month. I mean, I'm sorry, not once a month, once a quarter. If you can afford once a month, go right ahead. I think that's an awesome idea. But at least once a quarter, go see an esthetician. And, you know, have them analyze your skin. Give you the proper facial that you need. Sometimes they can put you on special skincare products. For those people who are dealing and suffering with acne, go see an esthetician. You know, before you get medicine from a dermatologist, go see an esthetician. You know, let him or her suggest some things that you can do with your skin. A lot of times it's not all about using the acne medication that your dermatologist uses. I mean, you use it, but it's not all about that. I feel like sometimes the medications are treating like surface level situations. Deal with what's below that, you know, and try to figure it out. And let's come up with some better skincare habits and routines. You know, guys, don't just wash your face in the morning. Wash it at night, too. You know what I mean? If you have skincare products that you're on, don't just use it in the morning. Use it morning and night. If you're an actor, men, male actors, when you're finished your job for the day, get a makeup wipe, wipe it off. Learn how to, matter of fact, if you use makeup as a male actor, keep some makeup wipes with your personal belongings so you can wipe it off. And if you're on a job where there's room for you to properly cleanse your face before leaving, do that right then and there. But then when you go home, don't just say, oh, okay, I used a wipe and I used some special skin care and they gave me a hot towel and all this. Don't just say, oh, I did that and then I can just go to bed. No. Do your routine at night as well.
Cleansing properly twice a day is a necessity for anybody.
And it's the same. And it's the same thing for the women. You know, a lot of times female actresses, when they're finished, some of them come and clean their faces off. Some of them, depending on how early in the day they finish, they want to keep their makeup on because they want to continue to go out or do whatever. Just make sure that you're cleaning properly. And maybe you can speak a little bit about some of the cleansing tools that you could use to help you get that deep clean every day, you know, long before you go see your esthetician.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, a lot of people, of course, know the Clarisonic. And then, of course, there's a new kid on the block. There's the Foreo Luna, which I personally like. Yeah, because with the Luna, you know, it's silicone, like silicone bristles. And, you know, it basically all these cleansing tools, it's not that they're miracle workers or anything like that. Basically what these two tools will do is basically they will, they pretty much make you cleanse your skin longer. When you have this tool, you're not going to pick it up and 2 seconds later, you know, you go over your face and you're done. No, you're going to use the tool longer. So you're encouraged to, you know, spend about a minute or so on your face, on each section of your face, you know, with these tools. Whereas if you just use like a washcloth or your hands or something like that, I mean, it's going to be like a minute or less total on the whole cleansing process. So basically these tools will force you to spend a little more time on cleansing. And that's why you can get a deeper clean, you know, a deeper cleanse. The one thing that I don't like about the Clarisonic is that the Clarisonic has those interchangeable bristles, the little brush heads that you know, you have to change out of. And years ago when people first started using Clarisonic, I would hear people, you know, the negative part about it all was I heard people say, oh, you know, the Clarisonic breaks me out. But what they don't realize is there's nothing about that tool really that's going to break you out, unless for some reason your skin is like very sensitive to the bristles. But the bristles are pretty much soft bristles. What's breaking you out is the fact that you're not cleaning the brush heads. And that's very easy to do. When you have the brush head on the Clarisonic, you're cleansing every night, you're cleansing every morning, you just, you know, rinse it off maybe and then just sit it down by the sink. And then, you know, you come back home and you're doing the same thing. Well, when you cleanse with the Clarisonic, you're getting dirt off of your face. So that dirt is going to sit there in those bristles until you properly cleanse it. But how can you really properly cleanse a brush head? I mean, really. But that's why they encourage you to change those brush heads like every few months. But most people don't do that. Because you got to remember, you're spending like $25, $29 per brush head, depending on which ones you're getting, whether it's for sensitive skin or acneic skin or whatever the case may be. You're spending at least $25+ on these brush heads. Most people don't want to put that type of money into a brush head. They would rather put that money into a cleanser or a moisturizer, but not a brush head. So some people don't ever change the brush heads on their Clarisonic. With the Luna, you don't have to. When you finish washing, put a little cleanser on it, run your fingers over it, run it under the water, you're good. You can buy the cleanser to go with the tool to clean it, or you can find something else to cleanse the tool with. But it's easy. It's so much easier to cleanse, and then the bristles are spaced so, you know, far enough apart that you can really get in there and cleanse, you know, really, really well if you need to. If you need to massage those bristles, you can really get in there to do that, to really give it a good cleanse. So it's a lot easier to clean the Luna than it is the Clarisonic. But, you know, to each his own. People have their favorites. I personally love the Luna. I've never had a problem with breakout from using it or anything. So I personally like that. But again, like I said, basically the whole purpose of the tools is for you to spend more time with your cleanse.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I wanted to mention before we run out of time, I was just looking on social media this past week, and apparently, I missed it all, but apparently there was a big conversation, a heated discussion on social media, and there's, you know, there's an article from fashionista.com that talked about it, but it's, the article was called "Major Drama is Happening in the Celebrity Glam Squad World Right Now." And so I'm not going to mention names of the different artists that they spoke of, but just in my own words, basically what was going on is that there's some fairly new artists out there who are on social media, particularly Instagram, and what they're doing is when they book a job with you to do your makeup, they are asking not for money, and in the place of money, they're asking for pretty much Instagram credit. So I'm assuming that means they want you to, you know, maybe take a picture and say so-and-so did my makeup and maybe kind of speak highly of the artist or what have you, whatever the situation is. But they want Instagram credit versus instead of makeup, rather, not versus, but instead of makeup. And so there are these seasoned makeup artists out there who are like, you are bringing the industry down by doing this.
Hold on one second. Back up for me a little bit. You said, okay, so they'll do someone's makeup. Okay, explain that part again. That kind of lost me.
Okay. Let's say I book, you know, like somebody sees my work on Instagram, they like me, and they hire me to do their makeup. Because this particular artist is pretty much using Instagram as their portfolio.
Gotcha.
And so what they want is they'll do a job, they'll do your makeup, and instead of you paying your $150 or whatever they charge, they say, keep your money. I just want the Instagram credit. So basically, as far as Instagram credit, I'm assuming they mean take a picture of yourself, credit me as the makeup artist, tag me, speak highly of me, say all these great things, you know, whatever it is they tell them to do for this Instagram credit. They would rather have that versus, you know. And I guess with this credit, it's helping them to build up their Instagram portfolio. This is the only portfolio that they use is on Instagram. So I guess it helps them to build up their portfolio, and then it helps them to get, like, better jobs, but also it helps them when it comes to brands where the brands are sending them all the product and, you know, whatever else brands give them. So you understand what I'm saying? So basically, they're really doing this to try to kind of up their followers. Well, the way the article read, it didn't sound like much. To me, it didn't really. I didn't focus on them and their followers. I focused more on them because this particular artist referred to Instagram. Their credibility. And this particular artist referred to Instagram as his portfolio. He doesn't, you know, do a book. He doesn't do a website and all of that. He uses Instagram as his portfolio. And so basically when you give him this credit, it's adding more photos to his portfolio, which is helping him to, you know, get more jobs. But then, like you said, it's really all about the credibility too, because I'm pretty sure his following is pretty high. I haven't gone out and looked at his Instagram or anything like that. But the point of it all is that you have some seasoned artists who have, you know, have been in the business for years, who long before social media was around long before the internet was even around, and they worked hard, and they built, you know, they built their reputation on the work. And not saying that this is not what this guy is doing, but what I'm saying is that they built their reputation on how great they were as artists, and they got paid for what they did. Now, when you look at their social media following, or some of them may not even have social media accounts, and pretty much they're saying, hey, look, while you're out here doing social media, I'm working. I don't even have time to get on social media, is what some of them are saying. We don't have time for social media. So this particular guy, because of, you know, stuff that he's been hearing other people saying about him or whatever, he got on Instagram and, you know, or Twitter, one of them, and typed this long post. And then you had some other people putting long posts or letters out there as well. And bottom line, what they're saying is, which I agree, but I also agree with the other side. But what these younger artists are saying is this: hey, look, whether you like it or not, social media is here. Whether you like it or not, we are getting employed from social media. You know, whether you like it or not, brands are paying attention to us because of our social media sites. You know, and what these other artists are saying, the seasoned artists, you know, and I'm sorry, still with the younger artists, they're saying, hey, look, social media is here. It's here to stay. It's very important to our careers, and you need to get with the program. And then so what the seasoned artists are saying is, hey, look, first of all, I can't necessarily get with the program because I have an issue with the fact that you come from out of nowhere and do some social media posts, and now all of a sudden you're not trying to accept money for your work, but yet get social media credit. It's bringing our industry down. And then also, you know, when you're telling me to get with the program, I don't have time to get with the social media program because I'm working constantly, consistently, every day, working real gigs, making real money. I'm working. So that's my, I put it in my words, but that's what the article was about. And I understand the younger guy's position when he says, you know, pretty much social media is here. And that's so true. Whether you want to get with the program or not, whether you want to believe it or not, it's here. And apparently it's very important in the grand scheme of this, you know, the grand scheme of things in this beauty world. It's important because people are using social media to find out different things. Just like one time bloggers beauty enthusiasts or other women were going to the blogs to find out what's new and what's happening. Same thing going to YouTube, you know, going to the YouTubers or the traditional bloggers and seeing what they're talking about and what they're posting about. And that's how some of these brands were selling this. Really, like, that's like free marketing for some of these brands. So they don't have a problem with giving some of these bloggers the product. But then you have, on the other hand, the professional who's worked for years, built a reputation based on their work. And, you know, when you have to fight with producers, when you have to fight with A&R reps at the record labels, when you have to fight with those who create the jobs in entertainment and even in beauty, when you have to fight with these people to get the rate that you're, you know, the rate based on your worth. And then you have people on the other hand who saying, oh, I don't need the money. You know, just give me social media credit. It's hard because then they're going to start to look at the business when I say they, I just mean like the producers, and you know they're going to start looking at the, you know, those who sign the checks. They're going to start looking at the business in a different way. So in some respects, I see what the young guy was saying. You know, social media is here. That's true. Social media is important. That's true. But then I see what the seasoned artist means. No, you don't have to pay me with social media credit. No, I just can't understand it. I never will. And she was right. It is, to me, that brings the industry down, that the standard of, you know, of what we do and how much we will work for, you know. What do you think about that?
It's almost sad. Not almost, but it really is sad, the state of our industry right now. And the thing is, and I'll be honest, I hate that certain people are included in our industry. And I say that because of what you just, you know, what you just read to me. It makes me wonder, and this is the thing right here. Just because somebody picks up a brush and an eyeshadow and they call themselves a makeup artist, it doesn't mean that they're not. Who am I to say that this person is not a makeup artist? Who am I to say that a job that that person does is any more, any less than something that I, you know, that I may work on, that I may do? You know, I can't judge people because they're, you know, they have big followings on social media. I mean, it just as the young lady stated earlier, she's working. If you work as a makeup artist pretty much 24/7, or if you're working as a makeup artist where you're working, you know, I'd say anywhere from three to five days a week doing makeup for a living, trust me when I tell you, there will be times when, yes, you can sit on set, you can sit on your job, and you may be able to tweet, you may be able to, you know, post something on Instagram or on Facebook, but it's going to be very, very difficult to be consistent at that. If you're consistent at that and you're actually doing it yourself, then you really put in the time and the effort to do it. It really is right. A full-time job for someone. That's why most people, you know, they have somebody who handles their social media accounts because they just can't do it. But I would not want to do that because then it's not my voice.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to post and I want you to hear or see me and not someone else posting and speaking for me. But I just think it's really sad that we've come to this. Like, this industry has come to this. Like, even in the, I'm going to say, and I always joke with people about this, especially, you know, when you have Instagram and their Insta stories, and, you know, there was Snapchat and other Insta stories. You had Twitter had Periscope, and then before you knew it, Facebook was trying to do live streaming on Facebook. It's like soon with all of these social media accounts pretty much stealing from one another and trying to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I always say we need to go back to the days of MySpace. For those of you who don't know what that is, Google it, because when there was MySpace, the only thing I think that you probably couldn't do on MySpace was live streaming. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
You can post videos, you can post, you know, it's almost like you had your own like DM, so to speak, you know, direct message type thing. You could put music on your page, photos on your page. There was a section where you could, you know, you can chat on your page, you know, so that's more like the Twitter thing. You know, you can just you have your status updates, all of that. if they could just bring live streaming to MySpace would be Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, all in one. Oh, mm-hmm. and ad filters, all in one. One place. Everybody has their own individual page, you know, to do
mm-hmm.
all of this. Because I think now we're just getting so far out of hand with all of these pages. You have all of these passwords to remember. But everything is just, you know, one big competition. Let's just have one page where we can do everything on one page and go from there. I think social media is mm-hmm. just, it's a great tool. I just think it's just getting out of hand. And to basically use your social media page as your portfolio is a bit ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But people are doing that. People are hiring people off of social media. Celebrities are hiring people off of social media. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, it works for some, but you got to think about it. Anybody who doesn't take the time to build a website or to have a portfolio, a print portfolio, you know, you have to wonder how professional are they really? Because in order to be seen by the right people, you have to have the right tools, the right way. Because an Instagram photo, you could put any photo on Instagram, and most people are doing just that. They're putting, you know, they're taking photos of people in their houses and posting it on Instagram. Oh, I did this makeup or that makeup. But you got to remember, that's not the proper lighting. Do you think a film or television producer will hire me based on a photo I took in my kitchen of somebody's makeup that I did? You got to be able to see that someone can do makeup in the proper lighting.
Mm-hmm.
When you have access to filters and everything else and you know, Photoshop and Lightroom and all this stuff to be able to make changes to, you know, now I'm not saying in people's websites and portfolios they don't have, you know, people don't get photos retouched, because they do. They do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look at a photo on Instagram and all those places and be able to tell, you know, that something was either touched up or there's a filter on it or something like that. We have to start putting more time and more effort into how we present our work. And most
mm-hmm.
professional people working in the industry, because of what they do, for instance, like us on film and TV, I can't post a lot of my work until after the project is done. But the thing is, once the project is done, once you see it in the theater and once you see it on television, there's no need for me to post it. You've seen it. And if you haven't seen it, you can go check it out. You'll always be able to see it.
Right.
Because my portfolio will always live on in television and on film. We just have to start being a little more respectful of one another's craft, respectful of how we go about our crafts, whether we think it's right, whether we think it's wrong. And we just need to, you know, be very careful of how we represent ourselves, you know, because giving away your service for Instagram clout, I mean, that alone is a mouthful right there.
That it is.
I mean, that, to me, that alone doesn't make you legit. I wouldn't take you seriously.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to leave the story alone, but the way he spoke about his career, as like I said, I didn't go back to see his Instagram. I didn't, you know, research or Google him, because to be honest with you,
didn't mean much to me one way or other. You know what I mean? I mean, do you? That's my motto these days. But I have to agree. I do think it puts a damper on the industry. But
right.
You know, but what can you do about it? What can you say? But like I said, he made it seem as if he was really blowing up, you know, and he's really come along, and he has really come a long way in his career, and maybe he has, because of social media. So, like I said, I did not go back to see who he is on social media, to see, you know, what his following is, what his work looked like or anything like that. I did not go there. But apparently it was a big thing on social media, the discussions that were being had back and forth. And apparently some big celebrity artists may have been involved in some of the discussions, you know, back and forth. So, like I said, I didn't get involved in it. I only focus on me and what I'm doing. I know that social media is very important, but on the other hand, I do what I can, because at the end of the day, my number of followers don't mean anything to producers. You know, like you said, if somebody wants to, you know, I have to speak from a television and film perspective, because that's where my focus is. But for the most part, if they want to see your work, they're going to ask for your website.
Right.
They're going to ask for your website. You know, or
and, you know,
a portfolio.
And I'll just say this: if you insist on using Instagram as your, or Facebook or whatever as your so-called website or portfolio, then I just encourage you to post very professional looking photos.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, that alone will catch someone's eye. I can understand if you can't afford to get a website done. I can understand that. I can understand if you're saving up to get to that point. So if you're going to use something on social media as your portfolio, then make it the very best online portfolio that you can have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when you
That's
send people to
it.
That page, yeah, when you send people to that page, you know, there should be no hate on the page. There should be, very little personal stuff on that page. You know, make it a page just for your work. Be very descriptive in the caption. You know, if you post a photo, be very descriptive. You know, model name, you know, makeup by, you know, you, whoever did the hair, put that in there. The styling, whoever wardrobe was by, put that there. And as well as the photographer, you know, put that all there. If you want to put a location, you can put that there as well. But be very descriptive, make the photos very professional looking. And then I think you'll have a winner as far as a portfolio goes. If you don't have a website and you don't have an actual print portfolio, you can refer people to your Instagram page. And they may be taken aback when you first say that, but trust me, if they see your page and they see how professional it is and all of your posts are consistently posted the same way with the same details, they'll be very impressed. They'll be very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
That will set you apart, but you have to keep it professional.
Right. Right. Well, it's interesting. I will say this. I just went back to the article. I'm not going to say his name, but I went back to the article and looked up the guy's name, just Googled him, and he is represented by an agency. He does have a Facebook, and he definitely has an Instagram, because they mentioned that in the article. Oh, OK. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. But I just saw something that was interesting. But anyway, a couple hairstyles, you know, got, I guess I'll call them old school hairstylists, had a lot to say about this young man. So it's interesting. But just like the one key thing that you said is we have to respect each other and each other's craft and what we all do. And like I said, if that's what he wants to do, then do you. Again, I do think something like that, not taking money and doing it for Instagram credit, I think it does kind of bring our business down. But what you going to do? You can't do anything but focus on you and your talents and your gifts and move forward with that, you know, and just hope and pray that everybody out there that's doing the hiring is not considering people from, you know, considering your social media account in your portfolio. From your social media. So it's interesting. Interesting story. You know, I'm not mentioning names and things because I don't want to get into, you know, I don't want to get into all that because it's not really worth it. Again, social media is very important, and we all know that by now because we see the people who get jobs from social media. We hear about those kind of things. And it's like you said, it's nothing wrong with using social media as your portfolio, but just present it in a certain way. So you're absolutely right. Like I said, I just kind of gave you what the part that I did read. I didn't continue with the article to see what the end result was. I just kind of thought that was interesting, that point alone, just, you know, doing Instagram credit and them arguing about it bringing the industry down. I just stopped there because I thought that was a good point to mention. So I just stopped there. So anyway, that's all I have for tonight.
All right.
So as always, thank you guys for tuning in. You can follow us on social media. I am at Janice Tennell. That's J-A-N-I-C-E, T as in Tom, U-N-N-E-L-L on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Periscope, YouTube, you name it, that's me. You can follow the show on Facebook at Beauty Talk Online. On Instagram, we are beauty_talk_media. On Twitter, we are beauty_talk. On Periscope, we are Beauty Talk. And I think that's on YouTube, we're Beauty Talk. And then you can follow my sister Denise, and she can tell you all about that.
Yes, I am at Denise Tennell on Twitter, Periscope, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm at Denise Tennell. On Facebook, I'm Denise Tennell. And I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Sounds good. And again, let's use social media responsibly. Like she was saying, if you're doing something using it for work purposes, present yourself very well. And let's not bash others, speak, you know, ill of others. Let's just always have positive responses. And if it's something, if we have something negative to say, let's not say it on social media. Let's respect one another and respect the craft and our industry. You know, so that people can take makeup artists seriously. That's what I want. You know, I don't want to ever see in the film and television world or the print media world, you know, or, you know, on the runways or in fashion or wherever in the advertising world. I don't want people to look at makeup artists as the lowest man, you know, in the group, or not respect us, you know, because of the things that you see on social media. I want us to be respected and held in a high regard. And I want it to be known that what we do is important. So we have to show that makeup is needed. We have to show that we are important and that we are an important part of the entire beauty process. So let's focus on that. Let's focus on the work.
Right.
How to get more jobs. And when we try to do the right thing for the industry, we wind up doing the right thing for ourselves. You know, let's not be afraid to share or to stop, you know, focusing on the competition and focus more on our industry and how we can make it better. That's
right.
What I think is important. Yep.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, I want to thank you guys for tuning in as always. We try to do a beauty news show every fourth show, so expect this format of a show again in the next 4 weeks. But in the meantime, we'll be back next Sunday night. Same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back with another inspiring guest. So, we just also want to mention, you know, if you guys have ideas, we always bring on who we want to bring on. But if you guys have ideas or suggestions as to who you would like to hear, please email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. Email us your suggestions of who you would like to hear. Also, you can tweet us at beauty_ talk, or you can call us here every Sunday night at the end of the show at 914-803-4399 and let us know your thoughts and your suggestions when we mention it, and get the word out to us, and we'll do our best to bring on somebody. You know, you may have discovered an artist around the country that you think the world needs to hear. So, and we want to say thank you for those who will be listening to us tonight via the playback, and thank you to our listeners all over the world. All right. Thank you again for tuning in. Have a wonderful evening and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.